I love telling people stories, especially when their story is a lot more interesting than mine. But I have the privilege to share a part of Isabella Smith's story today. And I've talked with her, I've talked with her mom, and the family's kind of just like to make sure that, you know, we share some of her story today. And thank you for allowing me to do that. And it's a fitting story to tell today, because today is a day of talking about one of our reflection being adoption. And I know, although you look at Isabel and you look at Amber, you know, they got both got the dark hair, long straight hair, and you go, well, I would have had no idea, right? Isabella is a wonderful young lady. Many of you know her story, and there are several newer families that are here with us and coming a part of the family, and you don't know her story. And so I just want to share a snippet of her story today to kind of get us off and running. So part of Isabella's story is that God chose that she would, though be born in Russia, to be adopted by a family on the other side of the world, Derek and Amber Smith. God already knew that and had appointed that that was going to happen for her. And as Derek and Amber adopted Isabella and brought her home, the beautiful thing that transpired was that a life that started outside of the family was sort of grafted into the family and never misses a beat as today, as though it's been anything other than one big happy family. It's always happy, right, Isabel? I mean, most time. Okay, just checking on that one. So she probably never picks on her brothers, and her brothers probably never pick on her. Derek, is that right? Maybe. Okay, he's not saying a word, so I'm going to assume probably yes on that. And, you know, she is in middle school and just having a fantastic time and doing amazing work in cheer. And, you know, they live in the metropolis of Boonville. And she has, there you go, a little pride there. And she she's grown up on farm. That's what she knows. She's a farm girl. And she is participating in 4-H. And she has the cutest goat, Felix. I don't know if you have met or seen Felix yet. He is absolutely adorable. I think he actually might even be on Facebook this morning or yesterday. Is it this? Okay, Isabel's not. Yes, Felix is on Facebook this morning. He's absolutely amazing. So cute. And she has been a part of our church family. She has grown up in the church, and she knows what it's like to be embraced into a family and loved and encouraged and supported and challenged and taught, essentially to be just part of the family, which is what I think New Hope is so good in doing, is to be a family for your family. You guys are a family to our family. I think our family is a family to your family. We're a family to each other. That's the DNA of New Hope. And it was such a fitting opportunity today. And Isabel, I want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share part of your story. That's a privilege and honor. And so I want to tell you thank you personally, publicly. And I'm so glad that God has given you that story and that you're going to get to use that the rest of your life to point people to Jesus and the goodness of God's love. We have a good, good Father who loves us. And we get to tell that story. And you have a powerful testimony to tell that. And so I'm excited, like, what's going to come out of that? You know, like, where's that going to go? It's going to be so good. I love that. So thank you. Today we are into the last, well, it's the fourth part of our reflection series. And so if you've been with us through the journey or not, let me just quickly say, you know, we start out saying, hey, it's Lent, it's a time of reflection. We reflect on what God has done for us in Jesus that we could not do for ourselves. And then we also say, that means we also are supposed to reflect that kind of love in our lives. And we call that, it's like, you know, love God, love people. And that's an idea of what that should look like for us. And we were talking about how, you know, in week one, how in Christ we have, you might remember, we have forgiveness. I was on the tip of your tongue, I know. And then we're talking about reconciliation and then being restored, made new. And that's three. And then today is the fourth one. And we are on to, what did I say? Adoption. There we go. So yeah, so we really don't need the chest today. And there on that, that's all cool. That's cool. In the scriptures, it's adoption is there. And if you ever get in there and you're reading the Bible and you see a line where it says, so-and-so took so-and-so in as their son or daughter, right? Give me a for example. Anybody ever heard of Moses? So Moses, when he was a baby, his mom, what do they do? What does she do? Puts him in a basket and places him in the water. And then it ends up that when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. And so when we read that, we're meant to understand that she took him in. And when she did that, that meant that for him, he had the full rights and privileges of being a son in the royal family. He had the favor of the head of the family behind him. He took on the family business, you know, of being sort of over the land. And so he ends up being promoted and he's in a place of governance and administration in Egypt because of that, because he's been adopted into the family. He was fully integrated. He embraced himself in the culture. He dressed like the Egyptians. He talked like the Egyptians. He took on some of their practices. He would have had to, because it would have been expected. You're just being raised as one of the family. Regardless of where you started your journey, that's where you are today. And that's who you are right now. And so that was the journey for Moses. Anybody ever heard of Ruth? You heard of Ruth? So when Ruth's husband dies and mother-in-law, anybody remember who she is? Naomi says, hey, you got a lot of years ahead of you, girl. You need to just go on and get you another husband and just like go have a, didn't say it like that, but you got to go have a family. You got a lot of potential ahead of you. And Ruth replied to her in chapter 1, verse 16. She said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. You know where I'm going, right? Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God. She's committing herself into this new family. And then, of course, we know that Naomi takes her in and she goes with her. And then the story continues to go on from there. Ruth knew that being a part of this new family was going to come with some expectations for how you live, that you're to honor this new family. And if you read the story of Ruth, then you see how Ruth is very, she's very committed to making sure that she honors Naomi and her family, the family name, and being a part of this new community that she's in when they move from where they were. I pointed out a kid and I pointed out an adult because it doesn't matter where you start. You can become a member of the family from a very early age or later in life. Doesn't matter. It's not about where you start, as they say. It's about where you finish. That's what matters the most. So we are in the Christian season of what right now? Lent. There we go. As I mentioned earlier, a time of reflection, time to think back on what's been done for us. And of course, we think, oh, we've been adopted in the family of God through Christ. That's one of the things that's been done. We could not do that on our own. That took God intervening on our behalf because He loves us to make that possible. Because no matter how hard you tried or you asked or you tried to do good deeds, or you had good values or just a good philosophies in your life, none of that was ever going to bring a single person into the family of God to be sons and daughters of God, to be brothers and sisters with Christ and each other. It was never going to happen except for Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul tells us in Romans 8. And so I want to read, if I could, read verse 15 through 17. He says, the Spirit you received... Oh, pause for a second. I couldn't pass this up. So last week, when we talked about restoration and that really being a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how we receive the Holy Spirit through salvation and He works in us, Paul's picking up on that same truth and he's saying, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, He says, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Remember I said that the person that was adopted took on the full rights and privileges? To be an heir came with privileges. In the ancient Near East, in that Jewish Hebrew culture, it came with privileges. It meant something, which, for example, is why when the prodigal son runs off from the father and takes his portion of the inheritance as an heir, right, and he squanders it, that's partly why that's such a huge insult to the family, but also reminds us that in that culture, being a part of that family, you were heir to an inheritance that in some measure was passed along to you. May not be a whole lot if you're the youngin', but you still had a portion. John, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he wrote, says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Do you see yourself as a child of God? Do you see yourself? You don't have to answer it. Be right. You know, it's the dramatic ask it again. But do you see yourself as a child of God through your faith in Jesus? Because that's who you are. And with that comes the full rights and privileges of being a child of God. With that comes a new identity, that you are not who you once were. You have been created anew. No longer does your past have to define who you are. Because God in Christ has determined that through your salvation, you have a new chapter and a new story that is being written. You may think that because of who you were, you don't have the potential to be anything better or different. That's not God's perspective on your life. That's the enemy. God says, behold, I make all things new. And when you come into my family, you get the full rights and privileges and the promises. That'll preach right there in itself. I could do a whole unit right there on that one. That come with that. You get to know God personally. You don't have to stand outside and look from a distance and say, well, that God character probably is a good. No, you can actually step into a relationship and go, man, I do serve a good, good Father. Man, Jesus has been so good to me, and I know that. And I know that when I'm praying that He's listening, and I know that when I'm asking, He's working for my good because I can feel it. He said, what is that? It's not about feeling. Yeah, but the Spirit of God's testifying with my spirit, as Scripture says, that the very things that He's promised, He's doing in my life. So though sometimes I don't maybe feel, remember, faith and feeling do not always go together. Don't base your faith on how you feel. That's why we have to be careful about when we worship, that it doesn't become an emotional experience, but it stays grounded in the truth of Scripture. It becomes about pointing people to Jesus, not emotional highs. That's just a sidebar. In Jesus, we are adopted into God's family. We have a relationship with Him. But that also means that we get to represent the family. You ever heard that phrase, represent? It's like, oh yeah. What? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So, hey, if you're from Boonville, you better represent when you go to Evansville. I don't even know. Does that even work? Does that? No, probably not. I won't do that again. But we're part of a family. It's who we are. It's our identity. You have a spiritual driver's license, right? It says you're part of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is your Savior. God is your Father. The Holy Spirit has made you new. You are in a family. That's who you are. And if we represent the family, then that means we represent the God who is the head of the family. And that's where it starts to give us some direction on what we do with that. So for this morning, I want to say to us that as people who have been adopted, it is our responsibility and we have the opportunity to encourage others by what we do and what we say to also become adopted into the family of God. That we would love other people the way that we have been loved by God. As Jesus said in John's Gospel, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So you take what you know and you go and you show it. That's a whole nother series right there we could do. Somebody has to write these down and remind me, because they never get farther in my head than when they come out here on Sunday mornings. So this very topic is, for me, the most appealing of the four reflections that we've talked about. What was the first reflection? Start with an F. Forgiveness. Second one, R-E-C-O. Reconciliation. And the third one, restoration. And then today is adoption. There we go. So for me, if I think of these four reflections, today's is the most enjoyable one to actually sort of live out and do, if you will. And I want to share some ways, some tangible, practical ways that we as the body of Christ can sort of live with, I think what I'm going to call is an adoptive spirit. That's not an official theological term that, you know, I didn't even find that on the internet. I just came up with that one. It's a spirit of saying, as I've been adopted in the family, I want to help others become adopted into the family. And so if I'm going to do that, then the way I live has to align with the very thing that I want to happen in the end, right? I can't live one way, want something else that requires a whole nother way of life to get there. You follow me? There's got to be what we call integrity. So, with that being said, what are maybe some ways that we can reflect an adoptive spirit in a world where people like to be part of a community? You notice that? People like to be a part of a family. They like to be a part of a team. They like to be a part of a group that shares their hobbies, shares their passions, their interests, things that they're talented in, like I said, values, beliefs. But they share all that in common. People want to be a part of a community where they can be with others that are like that. We like to be around people who are like us. That's sort of what one might say is sort of like human nature, right? It's kind of what human beings tend to gravitate towards typically. So how do we make the most of that for kingdom growth? So I'm going to share with you just a few. One, I want to come back full circle to where I started. For some, it may be as specific as adopting. For a stage of life that can do that, it may very well just be that, adoption. Or it may be fostering, being a foster parent in your community, because there is a big need for foster parents right now. I mean, there always has been, but that need still remains. That can be an easy way, it's not easy, but it can be a powerful way to take a child under your wing who doesn't have a dad or a mom regularly present in their life. Kind of like a big brother, big sister in some sense, depending on kind of what that dynamic ends up like. But still, it's an opportunity to just take a child under your wing and just love on them and care for them to help them. Okay? Maybe you've got a friend that you work with that, or in the community that you know, or in an organization or a club, or maybe even in the church, right? Maybe in a ministry team that you serve on. There's somebody that just could really use a friend and a mentor. Someone just put their arm around them and just walk through life with them for a season, not forever, more than likely, but just a time to just listen to them and talk to them and to show that you care and to share biblical counsel. Please always try to share biblical wise counsel as much as you can, and not some of the counsel we've maybe grown up knowing that doesn't really align with Scripture, okay? I've had plenty of that, you know. We all get that and know that. Just because it sounds good and a little cliche doesn't always mean it's good, helpful counsel we need to share with other people. So test that stuff in Scripture first. But maybe you look at a person who's doing life by themselves and they just need a friend. Maybe it's a widow, a widower, single person. Maybe it's a single parent trying to raise one or two or more kids by themselves, and they just need somebody to come alongside them and just help them out a little bit for a while. That's that. When I talk about an adoptive spirit, that's what I'm getting at. It's coming alongside and just embracing as part of your family, part of your life. One of the easy ways I saw this happen in the church, for some reason we had this short little stint where you either had to like sprain your wrist or you had to have surgery. It like all seemed to hit within a few months. But what I noticed was that there were several families and individuals who said, hey, let me come alongside you. What can I do for you? And to listen, to run errands, to just spend time with, to be transportation, to say, hey, let me drive you up to the door. So, you know, and let me get the door for you so you can get out because, you know, you've got one arm that only works, you know, kind of whatever. But just kidding. Let me help work on your car. Let me help work on your house, you know, because you can't do it right now, but you need some help. And we say, well, that's just what the church is always supposed to do, right? We're supposed to just love and bless people. Yes, but that's what an adoptive spirit is, when you take someone alongside you and say, let me bless you for a season, because I know you need help. And it's not going to last forever, like I said, but I want to do it for a season. I want to do for you what I know God has done for me in Jesus, and though what he has done for me will not change, and it won't stop, but I want to share a piece of that with you in your life right now. Because I want to love you like Jesus loves me. And that's one way I can do that. So can I do that for you? That's the idea, right? Let me share, as I talk about this, I think it might be helpful, because I've seen this in multiple churches that I've served in. Not that I'm a church hopper, as a pastor, I'm not. But I've seen this where sometimes we will take on adoptive spirit, but we don't always have a clean motive for doing it. And by I say clean, what I mean is we start helping, serving, and we have this expectation that I'm going to do this for you and you are going to be better. Sometimes it's, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to help you, and I'm going to share counsel with you along the way, and I'm going to show a good example, a Christian, Christ-like example, and you're going to turn your life around, and you're going to stop making poor choices in your life, and it's going to be really because I'm going to show you the way. And then when they don't make the choices like you assumed that they would make because you poured into them, then you become bitter. You become frustrated. Why did I even bother do that? That was a waste of time. It didn't even produce any results. Well, here's the problem. An adoptive spirit is never about what you will get out of it. It's about what you're putting into it, right? I see this so many times that Christians get so frustrated because people do not respond the way that we think, hey, you owe me. And that's almost exactly the way we approach it. I did for you, you got to do this for me. But that's not grace. That's not that cross. Jesus went to the cross knowing that there would be some that he would go to the cross for, but they still would not embrace the gift of salvation through faith. But he did it anyway. And it broke his heart. It pained his heart, as it does now. For he knows some will go eternity apart from God when the solution was simple. And he gave so much, and they just turned their back. Spit in the face of God, if you will, to be a little crass. When we take on adoptive spirit, I would encourage us, and I have to remember this too, let go of the outcome, put it in God's hands. And just love for the sake of loving. When Derek and Amber adopted Isabella, they did not know, and they still don't, what the future final outcome of her life would be for the kingdom. But they brought her into their family as one of their own, and pointing her to Jesus, and they're trusting the outcome of her life to her and God. Point her in the right direction. Point her to the cross. And say that's the greatest life you could ever live, is to look to the cross for the rest of your life. But you'll have to make that choice for yourself. And we're going to let you make that choice. You let your children choose. They have to choose. It's their choice. You let the outcome be what the outcome is going to be. And don't stop loving people just because they don't do what you think they should have done because of what you did for them and how much it cost you. Adopting is not about you. I have to remember that. Well, let's get a little lighter. This is the funnest one for me. This is the third one I want to give you. Join a group. How many of you like to play video games? Come on now. I know there's more than like three. Okay, all right. Come in late. He's like, yeah, I got it. All right, I know there's a number. There's probably some adults here who are like, I like to play video games, but I'm not raising my hand this morning. But people know that about me. One of the things I've found, gamers, as so called, right, like play video games, tend to like to gravitate towards gaming communities, right? Other people that play video games. My son enjoys that. I enjoyed that when I was a kid. And I remember we went to U of E and had an on-campus tour. You know, he had seen, like, there's a gaming club there. And so he just asked about it, right? And, of course, as a dad, and out of touch for a moment, you know, in my head I'm thinking, we're here to study. We're not here to play games, man. Like, what are we doing, right? But that was wrong because, yeah, in part, but you're there to be part of a community. And it's to do life together. And it's a journey to get an education together. And it's more than just books, right? Oh, that'll preach. As the church, growing and doing life as a community is more than about just sitting down and reading the Bible together. I love the scriptures, but it's more than that. That's a freebie. That's another one for you. You can have that. Runners like running communities. Runners like, I'm a runner. I love a running community. Be a part of that. People that love doing that and don't always ask you, what are you running from? The cops? Like, why do you do that? That's silly. Right, anyways. So people that like to sew. Gravitate to where? Stitches of joy. Getting together. Shameless plug. I know. But they have so much fun, and they love it because they work together, they build friendships, sometimes eat together, and they even feed me occasionally, which is very nice. And they are sending their sowing creations. They're going around the world, and they're blessing people around the world, in Africa, beyond. It's so amazing. But they love getting together and having fun, and they're laughing and just giggling. It's just so much fun. I can hear them down the hall when they gather. It's really cool. People that retire like to be a part of retirement communities, right? They enjoy doing that. When I was in Michigan, we would lose a percentage of our church who would retirement age, who would go to Florida or Texas or something, you know, in the wintertime. And then, of course, when the summertime came, they come home, and then we'd lose other folks because they were out camping all the time. So, you know, you couldn't win for losing, if you would. But they love being a part of the camping communities, right? Going out, people love doing that sort of stuff. Farming community, right? You guys connect together with others who farm and share that passion and knowledge base and goals. Like, just, it feels so good to be a part of people working out, right? Can be like, share that. You can share that together and learn from each other. Encourage one another. And being a part of those groups, those communities, gives us an opportunity where we can then talk about Jesus. Those people don't want to hear me talk about Jesus. Well, that's okay. Talk about him anyways. You can act like Jesus. You can love as you've been loved. Well, if I'm going to fit in, I need to act like everybody else. You're in the world, but not to be of the world. There's a difference. So we want to remember that. I have to remember that as well. What I'm saying is we can make the choice when we're in that group or in that community to walk in the light as he is in the light. That we can choose to shun evil, not participate or not acknowledge or condone the evil of others or bad choices. We can live pure lives. We can be obedient to God. We can live in peace with all people as much as it depends on us. We can be a servant to the people that are in our group. Can I tell you, this is one of the great ways to help people that, like, you're in a group or if you're with other folks. This is such a great way to show and share your faith. Talk about love serves others, that this is the kind of love Jesus has. If you're, let's say that you're with others and you go to, you're sharing some food together, right? If you just get up and you will take people's dirty dishes off the table, offer to refill a drink, or can I get you some more pretzels? You know, whatever, right? Can I get you another bowl of ice cream? I like that one. Because when you and I do that, what we're saying to someone is that I value you enough right now as a person next to me, and I want to show you that I care about you and that you're important to me. I want you to know, we talk about an adoptive spirit. That's at the heart of what we're getting at. Because when you bring somebody alongside you, you're telling them, you know what, I value you, you're important to me, and I care about your well-being, and I just want to bless you right now. He said, all I did was pick up a plate or refill somebody's drink. It's not just what you say, it's also what you do. They go together. And I know you guys know this, right? I'm just reminding us of the basics that you've known for so long. I won't beat that dead horse. All right, so I share with you and establish so many times, we're part of the same family of God. Our mission is to reflect the love of God in the world, acting like Jesus, talking about Jesus. And no, you do not have to have a complete mastery of the scriptures to talk about Jesus. You can just talk about what you know. Trust me, the Holy Spirit can do more with that than you could even comprehend. Just mention even the name of Jesus, and God will do more with the name of Jesus in a conversation or in a relationship than you could even imagine could ever be done. Just point people to Jesus. Love as you've been loved. The Holy Spirit will forgive people, reconcile, restore people, adopt them into God's family. He'll do that work. You don't have to save people. Let God save them. You just come alongside and show them the love of God in Jesus. The Holy Spirit will preveniently invite them to come to faith through Christ, to put their faith and trust in Him. He's pretty powerful. He can do that. Pretty amazing. I want to tell you that I'm here today because the pastor at the church that I was at took it upon himself to have an adoptive spirit, to bring me along his side, and to pour into me, and to help me at my house, to talk to me about Jesus, to let me serve in ministry. And when I made mistakes, not condemn me for them, but to talk with me about them. Not to point me to the worldly wisdom, but to point me to Scripture. To pray. To stop and listen. We go way too fast in this life. Slow down. I ain't got time to slow down. Slow down. Even 1 mile per hour is better than not, right? But slow down. Take advantage of the opportunities God gives. He taught me these things that I really didn't understand. And in doing that, I heard God say to me, I'm still calling you to ministry. It was out of that season of adoption, spiritual adoption, if you will, that I said, yes, Lord. Never underestimate the impact that you can have in someone's life by taking on an adoptive spirit, if even for a short season. It may change the trajectory of their life.